John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I love our church. I love, and the church is not the building. The church is not a denomination. The church is not some kind of universal organism. The church is a local called out assembly of baptized believers carrying out the Great Commission. And that's who we are here. We're our church. The people make up the church. The people of Pacific Baptist Church, I thank God for you. Thank the Lord that you love our pastor. I love his family. Continue to pray for him. And I just love our people here in our church. Thank you for being faithful. We have another year coming up of a building project or a building banquet. And some of you might think, oh, my soul, another year. Praise the Lord. I told Brother Myers, people are going to use their money for something. They're either going to use it for a Dodger game, use it for a new car, use it to buy a new house, use it for a TV or whatever. People go use the money for something. I thank God that our church has the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, invest in souls. And don't ever get past that thinking, man, this money is going to the church. No, it's going to the Lord to build his kingdom. So I pray that you and your family consider, heavily consider praying and asking what God have you do during the building program. It's not just another time, it's a very spiritual time. Very spiritual time, this subject of giving. And I hope we dive in. You know what it takes to give? You say money. No, it doesn't take money at all. You know what it takes to give? Faith. Faith. And I hope you trust the Lord enough to pray and to ask him, say, God, what would you have me to do? Whether much or very little, whatever it is, I want you to pray and ask God to help during that time. And I'm not preaching about giving. Not at all. John chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, and the third day, there came a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, and by the way, this is not the wine that some of us think about. This is not fermented drink. Jesus Christ is God. He's holy, and God would not make anything that's corrupt. And this is not the wine, alcoholic beverage that you think wine is. This is simply grape juice. And the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman. He called his mother woman. I call my wife sometimes woman. Lady. In Khmer, we call him yepet. You know, the Khmer people are laughing. He says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto his servant, whatsoever he said to do unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, they knew not whence it was. But the servant which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning thus set forth good wine. But when men have all well drunk, then that which is worse. You say, why? People are full. They don't want to drink anymore. They don't want to eat anymore. So they leave the bad stuff for last. That's when the teenagers come in, and they're like locusts and devour everything. Then they which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your house being full today. We thank you, Lord, our people are hungry for the word of God and fellowship. We thank you so much, our people love you. And we pray, Father, that you help us during this time. Help me as I deliver the message. I just pray, Father, that you help us to be helped. Help us to be here and not just come, but come and leave here changed because of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever seen a miracle? I've been the youth pastor for about 20 years here at our church. It's a long time. I'm not that old. I started, I want to say when I was 19 or so years old. About 19 years old, I started being the youth pastor here. And before it was just a junior high youth pastor. I love activities. I love going out. I remember one year, Brother Vong, he's our missionary in Cambodia. Brother Tongdi, our missionary in the country of Laos, and myself, and we took a couple of the teenage boys with us. And we went out to Jink Lake. Jink Lake is up there right by where we went camping this past year there at by Glass Road up in Angeles Oaks. And there's a small lake there. It's called Jink Lake. And we went up there, and we all had those little Japanese cars. I had a Toyota. No, I had a Camry, I believe. No, I had a Accord, and Brother Vong had an Accord, and Brother Tongdi had an Integra, and we had these small cars. It was snowing that day, and there was a lot of ice and stuff on the ground, and we just had a good time going sledding and everything like that. And we decided, guys, let's go to the lake. We went to the lake. We went with some of these guys, and teenagers, you have to know teenagers. They're a different breed. Right, parents? And they do crazy things. Now, the older I get, the less crazy stuff I want to do and the less daring I am. But back then, I was in my 20s, I believe, and kids went to do stuff. I didn't really care. And that's why Pastor, you know, he said, don't trust anybody under 30 or 40 years old because they have no sense. And by the way, I were one of them. I love my English. And we were there, and some of the guys were out in this frozen lake. And we're walking around, just hiking, having a good time, you know, throwing rocks and doing weird things like that, just enjoying the creation God has created for us, the snow, and we had a good time. Some of the guys were on the ice, and they were kind of pathetic, and they were taking big boulders. Brother Jeremy was there with us. I think he was one of the guys that didn't have any brains. And they would take it, and they would say, and they're walking on the ice in the on the lake where it's frozen, and they would get this rock. Let's see if we can break it. And Brother Stein, you're paying attention. You promise you'll pay attention. So they threw it up, and it would come down. I'm on the shore. I was like, hey, guys, what are you doing? Oh, we're trying to break the ice. I said, I'm not that smart, but I know 2 + 2 = 4. And I know if you break the ice, usually you'll fall in the water. I mean, that's just logic. And they're stomping on it, breaking it, and I'm trying to educate them. I said, it's not really smart to do that. One of the guys didn't listen. I said, but you do what you want. It's your life. You know, go ahead. I don't care. You signed a waiver slip when you came on this road trip. You know, that waiver said, you know, it's everything including death, so I'm all right. So sure enough, they threw it, boom. And they went in the water. And it wasn't that deep. It was only about knee high. And they went in. They came out. And they're all cold. And just imagine it's icy and cold already. And they come out. And they're doing that. I said, you know what? This is just a bad idea. Let's go somewhere else. Let's just keep driving. And if you know anything about cars, and if you know anything about the back roads, we're taking some back roads. Know anything about cars, our cars, they weren't made to go off-roading. You say, how come you didn't think? Because I was a young youth pastor. Young youth pastors don't think. We think all we think about is, let's have a good time, you know. So we're driving. And Brother Charlie, as we're driving, Brother Tony was ahead of us. I was in the middle. And Brother Vaughn was in the back. So we're going, and we go through this turn. It was us, the mountainside here, the turn. I think Brother Josh went to that trip. We went on that trip. I can't believe Brother Esposito will let you come with me during those times. By the way, I'm not like that anymore. If you go with Brother Savani, he does stuff like this now. Okay, so we're going, and Brother Tongdi's going, and I'm going. Brother Tongdi, all of a sudden, he stops. And Brother Tongdi, he has this I don't know what you call it, like this look that he always does when he gets scared. He goes up, he comes out of the car, and he does something with his glasses. And he does his face like that. You kids remember that? So he's doing that, Brother Charlie. You remember that? He does that. I go, I said, what? And I look back, and I see Brother Vong's car. Now we're going to the side here, and it slips off, and the cliff is right there, and it's hanging on a cliff. And I said, well, if they go down, they'll hit trees. And if the trees don't kill them, they'll go down into the water, and they might drown. So if they fall, they'll die, you know, five of them. So it was Brother Vong and his brother, Brother Esposito, Brother Esposito's son, him and Brother Jeremy, right? You and who's the other one? You remember? You wasn't in there. Are you in the – you bring Brother Tom? There was a couple guys. Brother John Nick didn't come. He was scared. No, he was smart. So we're over there. And sure enough, as I'm walking to the car, I'm kept telling her, get out, everybody. Not the people inside. I still told everybody inside to stay still. Everybody, you know, in my car, everybody in Brother Tongdi's car, I said, everybody get out. And as we're going to, you know, try to help these guys, we hear the song, Homeland, I can hear you calling me, oh, my homeland, oh, how sweet it's gonna be. And we're thinking about, you know, these guys perishing. So I tell everybody in the car, I said, you guys have just got to stay still. Do not move. I'm thinking, what am I going to tell Brother Esposito? What am I going to tell Brother Vaughn's dad? He's going to be concerned about this car. I said, what in the world am I going to do? So I tell all of them, I said, everybody stay still. Brother Jeremy was in the middle. He was in like 10th grade at that time or so. Two guys were on the side. Brother, everybody stay still. As soon as everybody, we opened the door, I said, let's open the door together so, you know, everything will be balanced. And then we can come out little by little. Don't make any sudden moves. As soon as we opened the door, Brother Jeremy was a frozen. He got on top of people, just climbed out. I said, what are you doing? I don't want to die. And he was out there. I'm thinking, how about these other guys? I don't care. And he got out and, you know, to God be the glory, everybody got out on time. And the car did not fall. We were just, there was a patch of snow, fresh snow that somebody, you know, shoveled out that kept the car from going down. And when we sat there and when we stood there and we thought about what happened, we're like, this has to be an act of God. There is no way and no reasoning why this car did not go over that cliff, hit a couple trees, flip over, gas tank exploded, everybody goes in the water. There's no way. Somebody came and they took a winch and a tow thing, pulled us out for free and everything like that. It was a great day that nobody died. You say, what else did you do after that? The day was young, but we decided, you know what? We probably should go home now. And we went home. You know, God is a God of miracles. And ladies and gentlemen, he wants to do a miracle in your life. Maybe today you're having some kind of trouble. Maybe today you're having some kind of financial issues or some family issues or whatever it is. Maybe today you're thinking, as Brother Myers presented the building campaign and the building kickoff and giving to the building, you're thinking, man, how am I going to get money for this? I want to give. God is a God of miracles. He can do a great thing in your life. What kind of troubles are you in today? What kind of dark tunnel are you in that you say, man, I just can't crawl out of this. I don't know what's going to happen. I need a miracle. I have some good news. God is a God of miracles. Man, I don't know if God's going to come through. Some of you Bible college students, and you're in college, you're in Bible college, and you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to go pay my bill. Where God guides, he provides. I believe in a God of miracles. Today we see a story where Jesus, the Bible records of Jesus doing his first miracle. He uses an ordinary thing like water and changed it to something special. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you let God, he'll use your ordinary life and make it special. Let me show you how we can see a miracle in your life. Let me show you what you can do. And what the Bible explains here, how God did this miracle, how Christ did this miracle, and what you can do in your life to see that miracle happen in your life. You say, what is it? Number one, we see that they had to commune. You say, what's commune? The word commune means to converse, to talk together, to fellowship. The word commune means to stay there and to fellowship side by side, to be friends with, to spend time with. In John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, and on the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. You know why the disciples saw this great miracle? Because they were there. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. See, ladies and gentlemen, Christ is there. Are you going to be there with him? He never moved. And for you to see something great happen in your life, you have to be where Christ is. By the way, you'll make time and you'll be somewhere if it's important to you. A.W. Tozer said this, "You may be known by this, what we want most, what we think most about, how we use our money, what we do with our free time, the company or people we enjoy being with." Who do you love to commune with? Who do you like being with? By the way, if you don't commune with Christ, you'll never see a miracle. I love AC. In my car, if I don't have AC, basically that car is worthless. I'd rather drive a junker than have AC than a Lexus or Mercedes or Audi or whatever you guys, you know, the top-line car without air conditioning. How many of you are like that? Okay, I'm like that. I love AC, okay? I love AC in the room. I love AC so much that the city gave us a grant, $82,000. That's a lot of money. And they're going to put a filtration system here in our building. And I called them back. I said, you know what? You guys allow us to put a filtration system for $82,000. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I said, you know, can we use that money and have a air conditioning unit, forced air, and that has a filtration system also? I said, we don't care. As long as this filters air for the kids. It's all for the kids. I said, we'll take care of that. And by the way, we have a beautiful air system, air conditioning system. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 units. Goodman. Didn't cost us a penny. It cost the port $82,000. And they came, they put everything in, and it's ready to go. They finished up a couple months ago. You say, man, how come we still have those units, and how come downstairs in Brother Pineda's class in the Filipino department, when it's hot, it's hot? Well, there's AC down there. Brother Jerry, you know that? There's AC down there. In the nursery, Miss Mary, the AC is there. But you know what? The AC, you can't turn it on. Everything is, all you have to do is turn it on. It's ready to go. Just flip it on. It's ready to go. There's only one problem. We don't have electricity going to it. And you might think, man, we have this beautiful AC system. And it'll work. All we have to do is have electricity. That's it. Simple as that, right? Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. You're a vessel that God can use. And God can show you a miracle in your life. All you have to do is abide in Him and be plugged into the power source, which is Jesus Christ. See, there's blessing that comes from communion. Communing with Christ. John 15:7, the Bible says this, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Man, there's blessing in abiding with Christ. I thank God that when I have a problem, the first thing that comes to my mind are scriptures that I remember. You say, why? Because as a teenager, I was encouraged to memorize those verses. And during some of the discouraging times in my life, I would think of God cares for me. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for me. In our own strength, the songwriter says, we can do it nothing. But with power from Him, anything we could do, the songwriter says. There's blessing that comes from communion. There's not only blessing that comes from communion with God, but freedom comes from communion with Christ. You know, the dope guys and the druggies and all these guys that are addicts, and they're like, you know, and they're teenagers, like, just hold it in for 5 more seconds. You say, man, you do that great. I see some of the staff, other staff members, they do that in the back room sometimes. it's so great to have this freedom. We can do anything we want. But the Bible says, he that sinneth is a servant to sin. The Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And freedom comes by communing with Christ. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 17. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, here's what the Bible says, there's liberty. You say, what is liberty? Freedom. You know, teenagers sometimes, oh, I want my freedom. Bible says freedom comes from abiding in Christ, not from doing your own thing. So I'm 18. I don't have to do it. I'm my own man. Freedom comes by abiding in Christ. Not only will you see a miracle by communing with Christ. Number two, you'll see a miracle. In order to see a miracle in your life, you must comply. So what's comply? Listen. Listen to the command. John 2, chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And his mother said unto him, or unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it." They did not question, they just did it. By the way, they complied without questioning. They didn't say, "Oh, what? What did he say? Go get some water pots?" They didn't have any questions. They just did it. By the way, it's probably good as a Christian if we just listen to and obey the word of God. Some of us, we have to be analytic, and we have to learn the D's and the Dows. And the, man, does the Bible really say this? Well, the Bible says it. That should settle it. Comply, listen right away. I love it when my kids listen right away. I understand some of them, they have to ask why. My son, when he was younger, they love to ask why, but why? Doesn't matter why, I'll tell you why. See this belt? That's why. Yes, sir. I would take the belt and I just use it and then put it around my waist, right? This kid is on the internet. But they complied without question. They didn't ask. They just obeyed. You know, it's time for Christians, instead of asking questions, just obey what's in the Bible. If the Bible says to tithe, just tithe. If the Bible says to live holy, live holy. If the Bible says to come to church, come to church. You say, "Man, we come to church so many times, 3 times a week." You know, during the New Testament times, they met every single day. They met every day. We just need to listen without questioning and analyzing. Well, really, does the Bible really say this about standards? And not only did they comply without question, number two, they complied when it was hard. Look at John chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says this. "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water." Now, I don't know about you, but you've been in this wedding, and the servants have been serving all day, and they're probably tired. You know what's good about a wedding? When it's over. Amen? You can go home and relax. Now, for the bride and groom, it's awesome. It's just the beginning of a terrible time. Amen? 1 year, you all right? You guys still love each other? Good? Okay. He said it's okay. Okay meaning okay. You should have said, "Man, it's great." Hey, he's just smiling. It's not great. Okay. Somebody's going to get in trouble here. I'm kidding. But here they are. They're serving. And then Jesus tells them, "Hey, go tell them to get 6 water pots of stone." Now, I'm not a really strong guy. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. But Oscar, the only thing strong about you is your breath. But I'm not a real strong guy. And I like to work smart more than I like to work hard. If, you know, I could use a machine to do it, I'll use it. Why use this chisel physique that God has given everybody? Amen. You know, it's just use a machine. And I'm like that. And, you know, these people, they didn't have that back then. You know how they labored? Manual labor. And they took these water pots made of stone. A firkin is 8 to 9 gallons. Now, they had 6 water pots, remember. 2 to 3 firkins apiece, that's at least 16 gallons. Now, a gallon is about 8.34 pounds, a little bit over 8 pounds. Altogether, they could have had to gather 96 gallons of water, over 800 pounds. That's not including the water pots. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of labor. That's a lot of work. You know, sometimes as Christians, I'll serve God as long as everything is great. I'll serve God as long as there's no trouble. God, I'll serve you, but here are my requests that I need. This is what I got to have myself a nice home. I got to live in Southern California. I have to have a beautiful wife, because ugly wife, that just won't do. I have to have children, two boys, two girls. They must have good smiles. Travel across the country maybe a couple times a year, and maybe overseas, and I have to do. And these are all my, and if you do this for me, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. As long as it's easy. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, God never promised us life is going to be easy. But God did promise us during the hard times he'll go with us. They obeyed even though it was hard. And then number three, they obeyed and they complied to the fullest. They didn't skimp on God. The Bible says they filled the water pots to the brim. They said, you know what? We're going to get it all the way up. Get all the way up there where it's just right about to just fall over. There's no ripping God off. The song says, with my whole heart I will serve God. With my whole heart I will serve thee. How much are you serving God? How much are you obeying? Are you only obeying God when it's convenient and when it benefits you? Or are you obeying God to the fullest and even when it's hard? You'll never see a miracle happen in your life if you skimp on God and say, God, I just do it when it's convenient. How do you see a miracle? Number one, simply, we must commune with the Lord. Number two, we must comply. And lastly, we've got to continue. We've got to continue. Don't quit. The best is yet to come. You know, some Christians quit too fast. The last verse John there, John chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, and said unto him, every man at the beginning thus set forth good wine, and when he is well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You know, if they would have left, they never would have partaken of that good wine. They never would have seen what Christ did. You know, a lot of Christians quit right before God pours out a blessing. Oh, it's too hard. It's this and that. There's an excuse after excuse. Let me say this. Keep going. Don't quit. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 34, the Bible says, wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and thou shalt exalt thee to inherit the land. 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, but as is written, I had not seen. And I love this verse. I believe this is pastor's a theme verse. I had not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor had entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love him. Boy, God has something great for you. Don't quit. Psalms chapter 27, verse 13, the Bible says, I fainted. The psalmist writes here, he says, man, I was going to quit. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I would have quit. He said, he didn't see it yet. He said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. He said, there's no goodness right now yet. And I might be going through some trouble, but I believe God has a victory out there for me. I'm a believer and I have faith God will come through. They didn't quit. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Say thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. I love Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The Bible says, but they that wait on the Lord and shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Some of us, we quit right before we reap. What a sad thing. The blessing's about to come. You know, the Israelites, When they came out of Egypt, they're supposed to take about a week to get to the promised land, probably a week's journey. It took them 40 years. So what did they do the 40 years? They just ran in, they walked in circles, in circles, in circles. They kept going in circles, and I would imagine Moses going to God, God, can we get in yet? These people are pathetic. Take another lap. A circle again. And God said, man, I think they're about to do it. I think these people are about to learn, and the blessing is about to come. They're about to go over Jordan. Then something happens, and they said, you know what? They're going to have to take another lap. Ladies and gentlemen, how many laps are you going to take before you learn? They didn't quit. You might remember the story of British Airways flight number 5390. The pilot of the plane was stuck out of the cabin window on the nose cone of the jet after its windshield blew out at 23,000 feet. What took place next was incredible. Timothy Lancaster was his name. He was stuck halfway out of the cabin after he heard an explosion that blew out the windshield. Several of the passengers said they watched in horror as a crew member wrestled to put the pilot back into the cockpit. They were faced with a horrible decision to try to risk their own life to save him or just to let him go. Fortunately, they decided to help him. The co-pilot shouted to the others, "Hold on if possible. Hold on as long as you can." The plane was driving while Mr. Lancaster's body was dangling outside the windshield. The crew held on to his ankles for approximately 70 miles until they reached an airport where the pilot was safely rescued. The thing that encouraged the crew members to hold on to the pilot was the co-pilot yelling this, "Keep holding, we're almost there. Keep holding, we're almost there." Ladies and gentlemen, keep going. We're almost there. God's about to throw out the blessing. In regards to our building, keep going. We're almost there. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We're about to get in. Canaan land's just in sight. Ladies and gentlemen, don't quit. The blessing's about to come. You're about to see a miracle in your life. I love teenagers. I spent 20 years of my life with them. Somebody, Mrs. Ross, was it Mr. Ross? Somebody said to one of the kids, they were small, and they said, "Hey, this is going to be your youth pastor when you grow up." I'm thinking, man, if I'm still the youth pastor when that kid grows up, I need to get a life. You know, something right? Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm going to be an old man. Let's go scavenger hunt, you know. But we took the kids up to Northern California for our senior trip, one of the best trips we've ever had. We went to Alcatraz Islands. We went to all these places. But one of the places we went to, I think Brother Charlie came with us that year. We went to the Santa Cruz Mountains. Is that right? Is that what it's called, Santa Cruz Mountains? And we went there, and the group of teenagers came, and we were going with big, beautiful redwoods. I mean, awesome. Brother and Mrs. Snakenberg, you're going to see some of those here in a couple weeks here. Just magnificent trees. There were trees that were really big that the people carved out, and people lived in those trees, and they carved out benches and everything like that. And this tour, he told us where it is, and we went there and we saw all this stuff. And he said, "Hey, there's an awesome view of Santa Cruz at Vista Point." He said, "You guys want to hike up there?" And all of us, you know, I'm good. I was like, "Yeah, let's go up there." So we went to hike up there, and we're walking, and we're walking. And we're walking. And after we're done, we're still walking. Now, 1 or 2 miles doesn't seem like a lot. But when you're hiking up and down rocks and this and that, it could be a long time. And we're just going and just going, just going. And the kids, you know, they ask, "Are we there yet?" By the way, if we're there, then we'll be there, right? Yeah. "Are we there yet?" And I think always the standard answer is 5 more minutes. It's just usually how it is, 5 more minutes. And we're going up, and we're climbing, and we're just going up, and we're following this this guide, and we're going. And one of the girls, it's always a girl, by the way. "I can't make it." I said, "Well, you got asthma?" "No, I'm just tired. I don't think I can make it." I said, "You can make it. We're almost there. We can make it. We can do this. You only live once." "How does that, we only live once? Loma? Yola, thank you. Yola. Okay, Yola! You only live once. Let's just do this. When else are we going to come here again other than next year? You know? And we went and said, I can't do it. She walked all that way. And the last turn, literally, probably from here to the back of the auto, it was a turn a little bit more than that, you know, maybe 2-3 times. But, you know, we're almost there. And we got there. You can see the ocean. You can see the Santa Cruz boardwalk. It was a clear day. It was well worth the hike. We went back. I said, man, you missed it. It was right there. I don't care. We walked back. It was fine. But she was a little bit bummed that she didn't make it. You know what? A lot of us will be bummed when we get to heaven. Because God's going to say, you quit too soon. The blessing was about to be there. You're about to see that miracle in your life. And you quit. Ladies and gentlemen, church, I want to encourage you. God wants to do a miracle in your life. God wants to do something great. Let's commune with God and spend time with Him and love to be in God's house. And just have a relationship like you've never had. And let's comply. Let's listen to the fullest. Listen right away. Listen without complaint. Listen when it's hard. And listen and comply to the Lord. To the fullest. And let's continue. Let's not quit. You only live once. Only what's done for Christ will last. I just encourage us, church. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Are you willing to do what it takes to see that miracle? Let's pray.